He heard a dog barking and saw grazing deer suddenly run past him to a southern wooded area. A few minutes later, Meier heard the familiar stirring sound again and saw the object rush down from the clouds, then slowed its speed quickly over the woods. The sound died out again as the object curved down over the forest towards the clearing. Meier shot his third photograph of the object at 2:31 as it slowly descended. 1 minute later, he took a fourth picture from a distance of about 180 meters. Finally, the object touched gently down on the meadow of the clearing in complete silence. Meier boldly walked toward the object in order to get a closer view of it, but at a distance of about 100 meters, he discovered a great power that stopped him. It was as if he were bucking the winds of a silent storm, so he just sat down on the ground and waited. In less than a minute later, a figure appeared from behind the object. It was obviously a human being, wearing a peculiar gray-colored coverall suit that was very pliant and light. The suit was close-fitting to the body, extremely durable, and the material resembled the skin of an elephant. Around the neck, there was a ring which evidently served for the mounting of a helmet. This entity was a normal female human being with nothing that indicated super abilities, pretentiousness, or spirituality, although she was devilishly attractive. She also walked quite normally for a woman, yet somewhat stronger, more confident, and graceful without being particularly dainty or trying to make any special impression. Slowly, she came near to Meier, seized him by his arm and pulled him up. Her grip was strong and sure, but also very pleasant and secure. With slow steps, they walked toward Meier's vehicle and sat down in the dry grass together. This extraterrestrial woman then began to speak in perfect German with a strange accent. The woman stated that Meier is a fearless human being. She says she knows because she has studied him for years in order to make something clear to him. Meier asks if no one else is suited for that and is told surely, but they have selected him because he has already occupied himself for many years with their problems and he thinks sincerely in similar ways. Meier thanks her for the compliment and asks her who she is. She says that she is called Semjace and she originates from the Pleiades. Meier is surprised by this and asks if she arrived here through hyperspace. She responds by saying that he often knows more than they desire, but they know that he can be trusted to keep silent about certain things and that his knowledge is in the right place. Meier is told that he is to publicize the photographs that he has taken and that the way in which this is to be accomplished will be explained later. Meier expresses concern that someone may see her ship and he is told that no one can come nearer than 500 meters in circumference around her ship, which is obscured by the hill and forest. Meier expresses regret about knowing why she is here and is told that nothing can change this or his future. Earth human beings have a long way to go for spiritual understanding. But Meier has taken the trouble and has learned to find the truth and acquired knowledge. Because of this, he stands out from the great mass of humanity and this is why they have decided on him. Meier realizes that Semjace is not just speaking for herself and she asks that he keep silent about that. He agrees and Semjace says that she knows he will cooperate, even if forced to speak. Semjace tells Meier that there will be no more questions and answers, that he is to listen carefully, write down everything that is said, and go to the public with it. She tells him that she will give him the thoughts of their conversation later so that he can write down everything exactly, word for word. It will be transferred in the same manner as Semjace was able to have Meier come to that location. She tells Meier to listen carefully and only interrupt when he does not understand. For some time, they have been urged to make contact with another Earth human being that really and sincerely wants to be helpful to their mission. They have often tried this, but the human beings chosen were not knowledgeable enough, willing enough, or lacked sincerity and loyalty. All of those that they had selected for their endeavors, feared for their lives and kept silent about their contact. They stated that they would be abused for being thought to be insane, they might be harmed by human intrigues, and that they would be accused of lying. There have also been many boastful people who pretend to have contact with them and have even claimed to have flown in their ships. They are nothing more than deceivers who sun themselves in dubious glory and profit. Earth humans have whole organizations that endeavor to explain their beamships. But, above all of this, there were a few that were really authentic. There are many photographs that expose nothing more than some light sore appearances of natural origins as well as deliberate falsifications. Very few of these photographs really show their beamships. Most photographs are deceitful creations manufactured by deceivers and charlatans whose names become known worldwide by this. Their books and manuscripts are also deceptive for purposes of elevating their reputations and obtaining self-glory. Others dare to connect their beamships with human religions, which they do not want to be associated with in any way or at any time. Human so-called sects do not shrink from this step and deceive their fellow human beings by such beliefs. These infamous and primitive machinations should stop before the whole world is overcome by it. If these deceivers were really in contact with them, and remained so, then they would have offered them the chance to get clear photographic proof of their beamships. But since they are not sincere humans, they have not given them this opportunity. For evidence of this fact of truth, they have given me the opportunity to take distinct pictures of one of their beamships. Later, they will offer him the chance to obtain still better and clearer photographic evidence. Earth human beings call them extraterrestrials or star people or whatever they want. They associate them with supernatural things, but do not know them in the least. In truth, they are human beings like Earth human beings. But, their knowledge, wisdom, and technology is superior to that of humanity. Although Earth humans have taken their first very small steps toward cosmic spaceflight, these are no more than the first primitive attempts. Even though mankind has reached the moon with their missiles, it has not reached cosmic space. By using this method, humanity will never accomplish this, for it requires a means of propulsion that is able to penetrate hyperspace and dissolve infinite distances. Space and time are not overcome by space and time, but by spacelessness and timelessness, which means that space and time collapse into one another and become equally directional to zero time. In this way, only a few fractions of a second are enough to rush through billions of light years, practically without loss of time, because the zero time neutralizes space and time simultaneously. Many deceivers pretend to be in contact with other planetary human beings of this solar system and have even claimed to have flown in their ships. That is false because most of the planets indicated are so desolate that human life is not even possible there. The other planets in this solar system have been long since devoid of life or are in the first stages of development. However, other solar systems have many kinds of life that are not only human. The animal and human forms of life are varied. Also, many animal forms and even plant forms of life have developed higher states of consciousness. So, there exists life that has acquired much knowledge and have freed themselves from their home worlds and traveled through the universe and have also come to Earth. Many of them are rather nasty contemporaries and live in a certain barbarism that exists on Earth. Mankind ought to be on its guard because these entities often attack and destroy anything that gets in their way. They have destroyed whole planets or beaten their inhabitants into barbarous bondage. It is one of their missions to warn Earth humans of these creatures. Maya is told to let this be known to humanity because more and more time approaches when a conflict with these entities will become unavoidable. A further mission is aimed at Earth's religions and the associated underdevelopment of the human spirit. Above everything, there remains only one that possesses the power of life and death over each creature. This is the creation, which has laid its laws over all. These laws are irrefutable and of eternal validity. Human beings can recognize them in nature when he troubles himself to do so. They expose for him the way of life and the way of spiritual greatness, embodying the goal of life. While the human indulges in his religions, and by this a heresy, he passes more and more away until he finally reaches a bottomless abyss. Humanity should realize that a god can never take over the part of the creation or destine the fate of a human being. A god is only a governor and moreover, a human being who exercises a powerful reign of tyranny over his fellow creatures. God is not the creation, but is only a creature of it like all creation, dependent creatures. But, earth humans hunt for their religious wrong beliefs and affirm God is the creation itself. They go even further and pretend that a normal earth human by the name of Emmanuel, who is also called Jesus Christ, is God's only son and the creation itself. Different sects of the modern time go on to maintain these same things, which approach delusion. Yet, as mentioned before, beamship deceivers also walk in the same direction. They put out the light of the world that extraterrestrials would come at the order of God, as angels or similar, to bring earth humans the long hoped for peace and truth of religion with the protection and order of God. That is nothing more than the well, considered falsehood from sectarians and deceivers, for they have never had such orders and they would never do that. The creation itself gives the commands because it embodies the greatest power in the universe and it is never in need of commands or religions. Religion is only the primitive work of human beings in order to lead, suppress, and exploit those who are spiritually deficient. Meir is told to bring this truth to the light of the world and make it known. This is a further part of his mission. If this does not happen, then mankind will slowly destroy itself and fall into complete spiritual darkness. They know that he is aware of a secret old scripture. The originals were unfortunately destroyed by the carelessness of their commissioner, who was Meir's friend, and who by regret has failed in fear. He is told to diffuse and spread the translation of this scripture, because it is the only one which is the authentic truth. They know he also writes about this scripture and the truth. They consider it to be the most important book to be written. But, its language will be harsh and will be met with hatred. It only offers the truth to earth humans, though some speculations are in it. It is finally able to destroy, for many, the madness of religion or at least temper it very deliberately. It is an extraordinary piece of work that Meir ought to make accessible for humanity. Samjais says that this is the first time that Meir has been told all that is necessary, but it is not enough. Many further contacts will follow after this and she will call him at a given point in time. She will also use telepathy to transfer further information. She assures him that she will do this at a suitable time and only when he wants it. She says that she will always direct herself to him with respect to his character and desire for independence. The time will come when they will meet in her beamship and fly through cosmic space. This will not be possible at their next meeting because of certain circumstances and regrettable occurrences. She will inform him about this at a later time in detail. Samjais tells Meir to live well until their next meeting when she will give him further important information. At that time, the conversation will no longer be so one-sided as it was then when she had so much to explain to him. In the future, the conversation will be quite normal with questions and answers. She says that she will see him again and, until then, she bid him farewell. She re-entered her ship at 3:51 p.m. Meir noticed that the bottom and sides of the ship appeared to merge together in strong heat waves that seemed to dissolve the environment. The trees and everything else changed into different colors. Distances seemed to alternate and everything gave the impression of being distorted. There was an absolute clearness of a blue, red radiation around the ship. Meir took more photographs of the ship from about 185 meters away. The ship turned away and flew over the top of three fir trees before withdrawing into the sky toward the north. Then it stopped and Meir took his last photograph at 4 o'clock. Seconds later, the stirring sound began again and the ship shot straight upwards into the cloudy sky before disappearing from view. Chapter 3, Eduard Albert Meir. Meir's personal qualities. Meir, thinking capabilities. Samjais tells Meir that she was astonished by how receptive he was to her thoughts. Even though his thoughts are often very extreme, they are focused and find solutions for problems which others are unable to do. Samjais was surprised that he did not ask any questions during her explanations at their first meeting. She considers his way of thinking to be enormous and phenomenal, as he is able to think in all forms desired. His spiritual knowledge and wisdom are decisive. However, Maid does not like to be praised and flattered, as he believes that to be very primitive. He asks her not to do that anymore. But Samjace did not want to praise or flatter him, as they have been over such things for a long time. She only intended to make clear statements of fact. When Maya asks if he should give an apology for his comments, he is told that apologies are empty words that seldom offer real opinions. She has not taken offense by his words because she knows that he only says what he truly feels. Maya's character. Samjace is also pleasantly surprised by the way in which Maya will suddenly disengage from a subject that is uncomfortable for her, and appreciates his unselfishness without egotism. When Maya tells her to not make him out for being better than he actually is, since he does have an ego, Samjace says that his egotism is only a form of play that deceives others from exploiting him. Again, he begs her to stop talking about him. Maya studied thoroughly by the Plejaren. Maya is told that they have studied all aspects of him for years and tested his spiritual abilities. They know that he possesses extraordinarily good intuitive senses. When Maya says that her compliments made him feel like a superman, Samjace asks why he said something that was not true. He states that it was meant as a joke because he felt embarrassed. He often describes these feelings as having flowers thrown at him, which makes him feel stupid, foolish, and like a poor little wretch. Samjace speaks about the character of Maya. Samjace says that his unpretentiousness goes too far because there are numerous other humans that boast about themselves when it is not suited. He does not give himself any special prominence according to his importance in relation to others. This causes others to have a wrong impression of him. He even withdraws from comparisons of his experiences and does not take credit for them. Maya is ordered to confess his abilities and not try to hide in anonymity. He must accept the fact that he is a hero, even if he does not want to. He responds by saying that he does not like what he has been told. He is not interested in showing off about anything and finds this to be disgusting and foolish. He does not care about what others think about him. Samjace realizes that Maya is very upset by this and decides to speak further to him in private. Maya's character. Samjace tells Maya that he is very intuitive. He says thank you for the flowers, but others are not very impressed. She says that he occupies himself too much about self-judgments, and he responds by saying that he is only human and deliberates about many things. She says that he should not do it because his judgments about himself are far below his spiritual abilities. Maya asks her not to always throw gardens of flowers at him because he does not want to cultivate them. Maya's abilities to ascertain truth. Maya asks Samjace to find out if a certain spiritual medium is genuine. He is told that she could do this, but that he is able to find the truth himself, since he is as experienced as she is at this, from his training by Sfirth and Asket. When he says that he is unable to get close to the medium, Samjace suggests that he confidentially contacts someone that he trusts from the medium's group and offer him the chance to clear up any doubts about the person. But, because he has been ordered by Sfirth and Asket to keep the formula for finding the truth secret, he asks if he is now able to reveal it. He is told that the prohibition is only valid for those who go astray from the truth. Maya's abilities. Maya, travel 43 lands of the earth. Samjace tells Maya that, because of his work with Aratathasattu and Petal, they are allowing him time to recover. Maya laughs and says that he can bear a lot. Samjace says that she does not doubt that, but he should not have to exhaust his last reserves. For many long years, he has always given more, and demanded more from himself, than was suited for him. He has traveled to 43 lands on the earth and has been relentless in his explorations. He has often robbed his forces to the point of exhaustion. Another earth human might have broken from that. When he says that he does not understand her growth in sentiment, he is told that he is more important than ever now and he still has much work to perform. This work will be arranged according to his strength so that he does not exhaust himself. This has nothing to do with sentimentality. Mayus says that he is no Molly Coddle, and he is told that nobody has said that about him. But, he is often too hard on himself. Because of that, he must leave it to them as to how much work they can burden him with. Judging from his hesitations, he might not be able to fulfill his mission. He always wants to perform everything very correctly and thoroughly. They have never burdened him with more than has seemed to them to be bearable. But now, he really needs some rest in order to recuperate himself. This is something that they are better able to judge. Mayus says that he will have to dance to the music that is played for him, and Samjace says that surely, he will not be able to do anything else. Mayus should address needs of family. Mayus is reminded that his children are growing and need many more things than before. He is urged to pay more attention to such matters. He says that he knows this, but he cannot make wages from his mission. Samjace says that he should not care about such things. Others will assist him very willingly. He only needs to allow this to be done for him. Samjace believes that it is the development within his family, which requires much more notice by him. Conditions are starting to be much better and faster paced than their analysis of probabilities showed. She asks him to convey her heart, felt wishes to his wife and many thanks. Maya, burial directive. Maya asks what the best way is to dispose of a body after death. Cremation, burial, or elimination as is done for Plegeron. He is told that elimination may be possible on Earth, but Earth burial has been the natural way since ancient times. There is nothing wrong with elimination when certain fluid forces are negated. These forces can remain in the body for hundreds of years or until the skeleton deteriorates. They can be of importance to the descendants for posterity. Maya decides to have his body buried when he dies, as he does not like cremation. After your death we have fulfilled our mission. Arat and Petal will discontinue their messages. Maya is urged to find a suitable inheritance of his work so that, after he dies, the value of the transmitted lessons are not forgotten, and so they ultimately accomplish their objective. He is asked to find knowledgeable persons to whom he can entrust to distribute and preserve all of the lessons and other valuables so that they continue when it is his time to finish his earthly life. This must be done because after his death, they will have fulfilled their mission here and will return to their home world. Also, Arat Athasatu and the Petal Sphere will discontinue their messages from that point in time and will no longer maintain contact. Maya knows when and how he will die. Maya's spirit on Earth for 25 million years. Maya knows Samjace many thousands of years. Maya knows how and at what time he will leave, unexpectedly and not assumed by others, from his life on Earth. This cannot be revealed, nor can the time when he reincarnates on Earth be revealed. This is to prevent others from making an idol of him, if the dates were known. However, it is allowed to be known that, after 800 years, he will again be the center of his innermost group, as it exists today and will also exist then. He wants to perform his mission until its end. He will not be able to stay, during the next few millenniums, for more than 2,000 years. He will incarnate in rapid sequence several times at different places on Earth in order for him to fulfill his mission with other nations and races of the world. Maya's spirit has incarnated on Earth as a human being for the last 25 million years, and he has been acquainted with Samjace for many thousands of years. Maya's writing and thought transmissions. Group finds Maya's writing style too harsh. Maya asks Samjace for her opinion about a pamphlet that he has written and tells her that members of his group have found his writing style too harsh and open to be well received by readers. One of them said that readers would be shocked by it. After reading it, Samjace said that she finds nothing that she could not agree with or anything that she would consider too harshly written. Quite the contrary, she found the words to be well chosen, the style to be pleasing, and it is factual. Facts of truth are important, and these include names. It would not be adequate for pretty sentences to be used. The truth can only be described with clear facts and not by indirect phrases or long speeches. From the beginning, that type of writing is destined to fail. This is something that many other tellers of truth have had to experience. Their indirect phrases and long speeches evoked the wrong impressions, and consequently, all that they presented became misinterpreted, not taken seriously, and led to new heresies. Under the circumstances, Samjais considers his style to be correct and advises his critics to realize their mistake. They find his writing offensive because they still have not found the truth in its basic form. They defend their criticisms with misunderstandings of love, justice, and creational laws as opposed to the reasonable use of force under natural laws by announcing spiritual and creational truth accordingly. Their minds are still based too much on the worldly and are intent on maintaining their reputations. Although they like the truth, to represent it clearly is quite another thing. They are neither interested in having a global organization censor their information nor in swamping all of humanity with the truth right away, because such things are not of use for their mission here. Small groups are sufficient, if their members remain dedicated to the truth. Through small groups, the truth becomes diffused and will eventually be seized by mankind. Meir is only providing the basic groundwork. His group can only be assured of receiving the truth when clear words are used, even if they express the hard truth. This ensures that there are no doubts, heresies, or wrong opinions that would undermine the meaning of what is basically important. It is advised that further pamphlets should be written in this same format. To do otherwise would only be damaging. The group's members ought to consider the truth in its hardness and defend it. The truth is hard and can never be exposed with soft words. They should calmly deliberate the lessons of truth by ancient true prophets that were much harder expressed than is the case in the pamphlet. The truth is never heard with delight, but is condemned with a vengeance. This was the experience of previous prophets, who often had to give their lives for it, and the same will occur in the present and future as well. Meir is asked to make this known to the group's critics so that they can learn the logic from it. Meir figures out subconscious retrieval. Meir notices that the automatic writings of the contact notes are different than when his and Samjais's thoughts are exchanged between each other. He states that, during the transmission of the contact report, he has often had difficulties in writing them down fast enough because she dictates continuously without ever repeating a single word. The report transmissions reach into his consciousness as though he were experiencing the conversation once again. He says that sometimes, it seems as though her thoughts were coming from a machine, like a tape recorder. So, he determines that Samjais does not personally perform the transmissions, but instead allows a machine to retrieve her subconscious memories and transfers them to him. He assumes that she is not capable of recalling previous conversations, word for word, but that the subconscious never forgets anything. Samjais is surprised that he has determined this correctly on his own. She is horrified by this and is puzzled about what to do about it. She says that it may be dangerous for Earth humans if he were to tell about his deliberations openly in certain circles, because the scientists and others of this world are not mature enough for it. The scientists might use this knowledge to subjugate all of mankind within only a few hours and destroy them. They would make themselves as gods and do exactly what they are endeavoring to prevent. Samjais says that she will have to seek the counsel of others so that their high council can make a decision on whether to eliminate certain things. Meir becomes alarmed about the possibility of having part of his memory erased and says that he will not stand for it. Samjais tries to calm him by saying that he would not feel anything or be injured in any way. She says that their technology is so precise with absolute sureness that he would neither be able to do anything to prevent it or feel anything at all. But, Meir said he would know that something would be missing inside of him and threatened to no longer fulfill his mission if this were to happen to him. Samjais says that no one wants to endanger their mission or hurt him in any way. She assures him that there will be no elimination of his memories if he agrees to never tell anyone what he knows. But this enrages Meir because they should know he can be trusted to keep secrets without menacing him with an elimination of his memory. Samjais explains that the elimination was only intended so that he would no longer be in danger. Then, no one would be able to extract the knowledge out of him, even by force, which is something that must be considered. It is possible for this knowledge to be elicited from him by force without his consent, which causes a measure of insecurity. Maius suggests a third possibility. First, he asks how long it takes to cause an elimination to occur after he has given a telepathic order to do so and is told less than 4 minutes.